Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Well, hello, everyone. We are so glad that you joined us today. And I am joined by Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And we're going to take your calls. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. And, you know, we love the wisdom of our co-hosts. And today we're going to hear from you, Jill. Jill, what's on your mind?
Well, today is Good Friday. So how could anything else be on my mind but Good Friday? Mm-hmm. And Alice and I both have red scarves on. And we were talking about before, it represents the blood of Jesus, right? And we totally planned that.
Well, Jill did. I don't have that much forethought to be able to
But
plan
it works.
That.
It works. So one of the things, one of my favorite memories, and this is just a personal, and some of you have heard this before, but on one Good Friday when my kids were young, a friend came over and somebody said to my son, "Are you having a good day?" And he's I'm thinking he's like 8, 9, 10, something like that. And he says, "Well, yeah, but it's not so good for Jesus." And I just loved his little heart and that he was really, you know, serious about feeling the weight of that. And really, how do you greet someone on Good Friday? You know, do you say Happy Good Friday? Right? Or it's kind of like, though, I think about if a friend has ever said, "You got to watch this movie. It's the best movie ever." And you start watching the movie and you're like, "Oh my gosh, this is horrible. This is like tragic. This is violent. I'm turning this off." And you don't wait for the ending. And so Good Friday, if we only stop there, we haven't waited for the ending. And we can say Happy Good Friday, right? Because we know the ending. Yeah. And you can't have the ending without the 3 days before, right? Wow. We need the beginning. We need the middle part in order to have the ending. And I think that's just so important. And I love Holy Week. Because it's such, I mean, even more than Christmas, and I really love Christmas, but there's so much around Christmas, and you can go through Christmas, and a lot of people, you know, just bypass the birth of Jesus, right? But Easter really is a religious holiday. I mean, the Easter bunny can only go so far, right? And Holy Week, and I think with every passing year, I appreciate Holy Week so much more, and thinking about the days of the week and that last week that Jesus was here and what he was trying to share. And I think about Maundy Thursday. I love that service. And then I love going to Good Friday service. And our church does a Stations of the Cross. And they've really upped their game. In fact, I'm thinking I need to thank them, right? Mm-hmm. And really have gratitude at their effort, because they've worked hard to create an experience to help us enter in to really feeling the weight of what Jesus did for us, right?
Right.
And we can default into an entitlement about our salvation. And we need Mac, your son Mac's reminder that it was not a good day for Jesus.
It wasn't.
And really looking at his suffering, I like to watch the Passion and make myself watch the scourging, which is so difficult to do.
It is.
Because we need to know how much salvation cost, how much Jesus paid for us to be free. But it's easy to forget that.
Right. I mean, he has given us our atonement. You know, the Jews go to the Wailing Wall. They're still asking to be atoned for their sins. We accept forgiveness. We already have the atonement.
The hope of the resurrection is ahead of us. And I think on Good Friday, when we can spend time just reflecting on the sacrifice and the willingness that Christ took the cup and suffered and died, went to hell, came back with the keys to freedom, and set us all free. It's just, it's overwhelming. That's why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. That's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. We're so grateful for all Christ has done for us. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Artimer with a New Life Moment. God is always our first and primary audience for confession, but he isn't our only audience. Scripture tells us also to confess our sins to fellow believers. This is an extremely important and beneficial aspect of spiritual growth and health if conducted wisely. First, let me say that this type of confession isn't an all-encompassing command. That is, it isn't spilling your guts to anyone and everyone nosy enough to listen. Never confess to anyone who isn't spiritually mature. Second, confession to fellow believers is an act of trust, and this makes you highly vulnerable. The person to whom you confess must be able to keep your confession confidential. If you can't trust your confidant, you shouldn't be confident with him. To be of value, confession must be honest and complete. You must feel safe in your selection of a confidant. Need help thinking through what to look for in a confidant for confession? Visit me, Steve Arterburn, at newlife.com. And thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
I always appreciate Steve's wisdom, and that is that's a good word right there. We talk all the time about confession. We talk about sharing with other people, but boy, there are some parameters that you have to keep in mind. We're so grateful for that insight.
Becky, I think counseling and therapy, at its core, it's good, safe confession, structured confession. And so if you haven't experienced that, or you don't have anybody who seems safe enough for you to be that vulnerable, enter into counseling, into therapy to be able to do so.
Yeah. And, you know, to that point, Alice, it can take practice to open up to another human being what you've been carrying around inside, because it's scary to trust somebody. And we get that. But we've got some great helpers all across the country that can help you in that process. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're going to go to the calls, and we're going to talk with Nicole, who's calling us from Mission Viejo, California, listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Nicole. How can we help you today?
Hi. Yes, I have a question, please. I am divorced, and I recently got married 4 years now, and my sons and I live in the same house for over 24 years, maybe. Anyway, so my husband and I and my two adult sons that are now 25 and 27 all live in the house. The question is, what is my husband's role now, understanding God's order? And he has sons as well, but they don't live with us. So we just have these two at home. We have created boundaries for them, and they do abide by them. But just curious, with adult sons now, what is my husband's role at this time?
Nicole, it's a good question, and, and not necessarily a simple question either, given the various family dynamics. What do you wish your husband would do, and what do you wish he wouldn't do in his relationship with your sons?
Well, they have a relationship. I think everything's going well. I guess I'm just wondering, because it's different. It's not like we have a five-year-old and say, go to bed at 8 o'clock. We have adult sons, and they are doing what they need to do. So I just wasn't sure what it means now biblically. So I'll do whatever God says to do, really. So they have a relationship. They get along.
It leaves me curious what prompts the question, as things are going so well, but the question is still weighing on your mind. And you might not know why, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, because I love that we're talking about this, exactly. I guess, like, if something needs to be corrected, should my husband be taking a role and a stance? For instance, you know, they're 25 and 27. They do drink. They don't get drunk. We have set the rules down. If they fall on that boundary or rule, how should my husband be handling it? Should my husband be handling it, or should I be handling it, being that they're now 25, 27? I've always, you know, it's been the three of us, because I've been divorced for a long time. So I guess that's it. That's exactly
Nicole, let me also ask you, is their father involved in their lives?
Yes, but he's not at the same time.
Okay.
He's there. They go to lunch here and there, but no guidance, no.
Okay.
No mentoring, no.
You know,
I have one more question.
Okay.
Can I ask one question before you go there? Nicole, what's the strategy? Are they going to live with you forever, or what's their what's the plan there?
No. Yeah, no. We all just say, me, of course, my husband and I both are, like, pushing them out. But they're saving money right now. They contribute to the bills. They're independent in a sense, of everything except for the bills are like they pay for utilities, they pay for their own food, the house rent we just cover. So for me, I think that's independent, but yet they're still living here and they are saving. So no, I don't want them. I keep pushing them. I'm like, go. I'm the mom that's like, no, go ahead. Go live. Go see your life, right? So, no.
Okay.
But well, we haven't set a time frame either, right? We haven't.
Okay.
Do we need to? I don't know.
Well, yeah. And Nicole, it has been 4 years, so this isn't just new on the scene. I know one thing Steve always talks about is that a stepdad is like a kind uncle. That any step parent comes in like a kind aunt or uncle that befriends the kids, not that they're trying to be peers, but befriends and becomes another adult in their lives that care about them. One thing I would also be curious about is, have you had discussions with your son? Like, who do they want him to be in their lives? Do they have any needs that they're hoping that he can meet that their dad doesn't, right? How much involvement do they want him? Now, it's not all up to them, but they're adults, and it sounds like they're being responsible. And here's the thing also with them living in your house. Right nowadays, it is hard for kids. It's really expensive out there to make it on their own, and so saving money is great. That is a total 100% privilege. They don't have a right to live in your home at this age. They're given a gift and a privilege to live in your home. So as long as they honor that, you know, that can be a good arrangement for a period of time, right? Not forever.
But
it's if they dishonor that, well then they're abusing the privilege, right? And so I think, first of all, you are their parent. Stepdad is their uncle, their kind uncle. So you step in first, and he is your backup, right?
Okay.
And that you guys are united. But I think as the parent, especially if there's something that you have to confront with, you are the parent, but then you have his strength and support behind you.
Okay. That helps. Yeah, that does help.
Mm-hmm. And he can come alongside and talk to them and say, you know, but be more of like if he were a friend's dad or something that comes along and says, hey, you know, I was noticing this. Do you want to talk about it? Right? And he can invite them into relationship. But he just because he's stepdad, he doesn't get to now be the main authority. No,
that usually never
works.
Nicole, you guys have worked out. I mean,
but you're already doing
Jill
it.
And Alice, you're already. You guys, how many calls do we get from people like you, Nicole, who are doing this, and the sons or the daughters are not as responsible?
Right, like you're doing a great job.
You stand out, Nicole. Something's working here in your system.
I mean, it's been some work because my husband. I give him glory because it has been some work. I mean, it didn't start off this way. So.
Okay.
It's
been some work, and that's where we are today. It started off, not that they rebelled or anything. It was me. I wasn't a Christian, and I was allowing things. Oh, they're adults. They're fine. And my husband stepped in like, oh, no. And, you know, I was brought up with let's go deeper, right? I didn't have a dad. I had a single mom myself. I didn't have structure. So I didn't, and my mom died when I was 20, so I had no, adult mentor myself to say, this is how you bring up kids or... So I was allowing stuff at first, and now, and my husband's helped me a lot, and I'm like, no, and he's backed me, and so that's why I was just kind of, I want to go forward. I want them out. Don't mean that negatively, but at the same time, like, they need to move on, right? Like, and I want to make sure I'm pushing them out properly, and but I don't want them to live here all the time, and I do want to know my husband's role, and I like how you presented this, because I want to make sure we're on track. We're getting them prepared. You know, I don't want to do, what's that saying, failure to launch type of, I don't even, you know, that saying. And, you know, my husband's mentioned that to me and trying to help me get me there. And I've never been the umbrella mom. I've always been like, no, you do your laundry. You're in junior high now. You got to do it. But at the same time, once they got older, I was like, oh, they're older. They're fine. I was so naive, but we're on track. So we're pretty good.
Well, and it sounds like your husband has brought things to you,
right.
as he should. He's saying, yeah, hey, right. let's talk about this, wife, right?
Yeah, you just confirmed it, so that's pretty cool.
Right, and
yeah,
so he is Lord. Supporting yep. you and allowing right. you to, yeah. you know, chew on it and have some feedback, and then you two are deciding, and then you're the mouthpiece.
And Nicole,
and I'm glad that you said that. Oh, go ahead.
Nicole, I'm going to give you some brainstorming questions to mull okay. over, both with your husband and then separately with your son. Talk about okay. how you all as adults are modeling alcohol use. As the parents, how are you modeling alcohol use, and are you happy with that? I want you to commend okay. your sons for their responsibility, which you probably already do. They're making great choices
yeah.
in their life.
I'm
and then
so
I want
happy
you,
about it. Yeah.
Yes, it's incredible. I want you to address your worry, because I think you're worried that they will cross over into more excessive alcohol use. You see that possibility, and you're worried that they'll overstay in your home and won't leave soon enough.
Right.
And so talking that through helps you to identify what you want. As you said, I don't know, should they stay? Should we set up a timeline when they should leave? Brainstorm
right.
that with all of them. Mm-hmm. And then ask that question, what do you think we should do? If anybody in this household drinks too much, how should we handle it? And you all can come up with what you want the roles to be, what you want the steps to be taken. And it's great
like
to do
that.
It before the problem yeah. happens. You're in a perfect position to have these conversations.
Yeah, I love
I like
all
that
of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Nicole, you asked, the initial question you asked was, what is God's role for my husband? And you
yeah.
can see that it is not a hard and fast, mm-hmm. thus saith the Lord. In this situation,
yeah.
it is yeah. really a bunch of conversations.
It
and that connection that you have will launch them strong.
Mm-hmm.
It will make a difference in their lives. And I'm so grateful that you have this new marriage, and we're excited for you. We
yeah.
are, what would be a good book to send Nicole? Oh, I know, Jim's book.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing Life with Your Adult Children. Uh-huh. Actually, I thought about that. We're going to send that to you, Nicole. And we'll be praying for a great, you know, just transition with your
I know.
Sons.
Maybe they'll move out together, right?
Who knows?
That,
well, we're so glad that you called. We're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to talk with Pam. Pam's calling us from Wichita, Kansas, listens on NRB. We're glad you called, Pam. How can we help you today?
I have five grandchildren who are in college. The one I'm concerned about is in her third year, and she's very quiet. Her problems that I know about, she has ringing in her ears and insomnia, and this is not something new. There's been some problems since she was about 10 years and of age. Anyway, I need to know my role. I just got through ordering a book from your services. I don't remember the exact name right now. Time to be Healed, something like that.
Healing is a choice, probably, Pam.
Healing is a choice, that's probably it. Anyway, mm-hmm. I plan to give her the book. My own daughter, her mother, carries an EpiPen because she is so allergic to different foods. The lady I talked to when I first got on wanted to know my question. I just am not certain what my role is. I mean, I'm 82. The things I've seen. I mentioned that the last time the granddaughter was here, she was sitting there rocking back and forth for some time, and then she. A little later, doing something with her legs. But what I'm concerned about is what I'm remembering from psychiatry in the 60s. I'm a nurse, retired, of course. But anyway, we had 3 months in psychiatry back in the 60s. And patients that were doing that were schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah.
I'm concerned about my daughter-in-law, my daughter and, not my daughter-in-law, anyway, my granddaughter. I'm sorry.
All right.
Well,
Pam,
I need to know what my role should be.
Okay. We are so grateful for grandmothers like you. We have a break coming up. Hold on, and we'll answer the call. We'll answer your question when we come back, but we appreciate you calling. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so grateful that you're with us today. We are talking to Grandma Pam. And Pam, we love that you have all those grandchildren and that your heart is concerned about your college age granddaughter who's suffering with tinnitus as well as probably anxiety disorder. Jill, go ahead.
Well, Pam, just that you have worry and concern about her, understandable, and that, you know, it's part of your background and your training, and we never lose that, right? The way we view things. So I'm wondering now, this granddaughter, her mother is your daughter? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. So do you have good rapport with your daughter?
Most of the time.
Okay. Because, go ahead. Most of the time.
Occasionally through the years. My daughter's a teacher, and okay. she also homeschools this daughter that's having problems now. Anyway.
Okay.
This is just an example. I did criticize one thing. I don't know if it was a book or anyway, it was a popular thing going on with something they were watching, and other kids were watching that too, and I don't even remember what it was, but my daughter did not appreciate my criticizing what this was. What they were watching was being criticized by Christian radio people, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, and I think no matter our age.
Okay.
So no matter our age, as a mom to a daughter, we have to be very careful the way we say things because it can be perceived as criticism when maybe you're just curious about it. Hey, I heard this thing and I'm curious. But somehow, however you said it, and being her mom, she took it to be that you were being critical. And so, you know, sometimes you're going to really have to front load things. Like I have a curiosity. I want you to know this isn't a judgment or a criticism of anything you're doing. I just have a curiosity. Is it okay? You know, are you willing to hear my curiosity? And ask her. Since she is homeschooling her, she's with this daughter.
No, that was when she was in college.
Oh, okay. She's in college now. That's right.
Okay. She's in college now in her third year.
Okay. But she did homeschool her. So she is well aware of her issues and her problems. And is your daughter a conscientious parent?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Okay, so you have concerns, but you're one step removed, right? And so, part of it is having confidence in your daughter to be handling the issues. Unless she's overwhelmed and telling you she's overwhelmed and doesn't know what to do. How does she respond to you asking about the kids? And how is this granddaughter doing? Are you able to do that?
I might be able to. I don't know. You know, when she was the granddaughter was rocking back and forth, there were other people in the family out there too, and nobody. I'm pretty sure her mom, possibly even her dad, were there too, and
nobody saw it as problematic.
No.
Well, and I'm wondering, Pam, I'm wondering, do you stay connected to your granddaughter?
Yeah.
Do you have a relationship with her?
She's very quiet. Not very close. They live 2 hours away. One of the grandchildren lives right across the lane from us. I have a pretty close relationship with her, but I do not have a good or very close relationship with the granddaughter I'm calling you about.
Okay, so Pam, I think maybe cultivating that a little bit more. You're at a distance. You don't have a lot of contact. One thing that grandparents can do is be someone who's affirming and loving. You can write notes to your granddaughter or your grandkids at college. They love getting mail. They're more receptive to it when they're away from home. And just a note of, I was thinking about you today, or, you know, I remember something about when you were young, and I love you so much. Or, you know, sometimes you can share a verse with them, and they'll receive it better from a grandparent often than a parent.
And Pam, increasing that lighthearted mm-hmm. contact is the yes. way to eventually share your more significant concerns. But because they probably can't receive that from you, there's actually a ratio. We need to have about 5 positive statements given in order to be able to get through a little bit that might be tough to hear. And so we've got to front load with the positivity in mm-hmm. order to have the foundation to share a concern.
And showing interest. You have to show interest, right? That's how kids know you care.
And after doing that for a time, Pam, then you might address perhaps with your daughter or your granddaughter. And I'll give you some potential wording. You might first praise with that, hey, you got a heavy load with these kids. And I see how dedicated you are, how you homeschooled. You've really done a great job as a mom, if you can genuinely say that to her. And I just want to know, do you need any help from me? Whether it's prayer, whether it's financial support, a listening ear, is there any way that I can help you? And her response to that will inform you of whether or not and how you bring up that next
this
concern.
This is with daughter.
Yes, with your daughter. Exactly.
So you're doing both daughter and granddaughter.
Yes.
And Pam, as you make connection with your granddaughter and your daughter, your concern for your granddaughter's mental health, you can ask for, you know, have you ever had an assessment? Not looking at what the diagnosis might be, but she may be struggling with anxiety. You know, that's very common for young adults as they're entering into a new world in college level classes. But you become that support person that, you know, is praying for her and connecting with her. We're glad you called. We'll be right back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We were just finishing our call with Pam. We're going to send Pam a copy of Understanding and Loving Your College Student by Jim Phillips and Steve Arterburn. But Jill,
yeah,
you have
I just wanted to add, I think what Alice said was really important of you can't overdo the positives and the positive affirmations. And Pam, I want you to know that we did hear your concern and that you're remembering a diagnosis, you're thinking of schizophrenia. The rocking behavior is a form of self-soothing. And while it might be part of schizophrenia, it's a part of a lot of other diagnoses as well. And so I don't think we immediately need to jump to that conclusion. But
right.
All behavior does have meaning, so there is something going on.
Right. I appreciate that so much. We're going to go back to the calls. And thank you, Pam, for calling. Hi, Jose. We're so glad you called. You're calling from Kissimmee, Florida, and listen on Sirius XM. How can we help you today?
I just wanted to make a comment because I heard a few people call in regarding miscarriages. And
yes.
So I mentioned my wife and I have been married 30 years, and God has been good to us. We have 4 daughters and a grandchild. But the first child, my wife miscarried, and I wasn't there. I wasn't there. I was in transit coming home from work and no cell phones and any of that. And so when I got home, I was a little frantic, and I said, Lord, what am I going to tell this woman? This is going to be a forever issue. Like, she'll never forgive me for not being there. Mm-hmm. And I was reminded... of the story of King David when it was a sinful issue, but he went and got Bathsheba pregnant, and the baby got sick, and all of a sudden, you know, he starts fasting and praying for this child. But then the Lord takes the baby, and so he stops fasting, and interestingly enough, it says he stops weeping too. And so he turns around, and his servants, they kind of think he's crazy, and they say, well, I thought you were. And he says, look, he's not coming to me, but I'm going to him. And the point I wanted to make was the comforting word that came to me when the miscarriage came to our home was that for as much as we could comfort each other here on earth, Christians have a tomorrow. And although tomorrow is not promised, it's actually guaranteed. And so our tomorrow is always bested by eternity. And so if we have a great day here, eternity is better. If we have a bad day here, eternity is still better. And so what God showed us was get to heaven. Get to heaven. You keep calling this baby lost, but something that is lost is something that you don't know where that something is. That baby's not lost. That baby's in the arms of a loving father. And so our place is to find salvation so that we can reunite with the baby that we couldn't see here. We have eternity, and that's greater than earth, greater than any manly counsel. That's an eternity, godly point. And so I thought it necessary to mention it only because it brought us great comfort. And in the 30 years that we've been married, I've shared this story personally to many people, and the tears run, and the healing comes. And the truth is we take our eyes off of this temporary situation, and when we begin to look at heaven, all of a sudden that spirit man gets renewed, and all of a sudden we have something else to live for. So I thought I wanted to share that in case anyone would, you know, we're finding it too heavy here on earth. I believe that Christians have something greater than comfort here on earth. And then the other thing was that Jesus could have called the Holy Spirit any title he wanted because he's the spirit of power, knowledge, wisdom. But he told his disciples, I got to go because when I go, the Comforter is going to come. And I believe he said that because more in life than anything else, even more than money and health, we're going to need comfort. And I believe that the Holy Spirit can comfort us even when no man's words can, no food, no money, no health, no good news, no job. That Holy Spirit can come, and only God can touch our hearts. People can break our hearts, but the Holy Spirit can actually touch our hearts and mend them. And so I really believe that's why Jesus said that that Holy Spirit is the Comforter. And I just pray that these words find their way into somebody's heart because they have helped us for many a time.
Well, thank you, Jose. I do think that the Holy Spirit just worked through you, and just the fact that you called on this day and to continue to bless others with your hope and your story. It's just really powerful. I'm going to send you a copy, just for calling. I'm going to send you a copy of Living Strong, Finishing Well, because that's what you're doing. And you're right. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter that God gave us, and it is a blessing. I love that.
Jose, you speak with such eloquence, and you held on a long time to be able to share your testimony. And you make me think of all of us who experience loss, that if we let God redeem that pain, he does turn it into a gift that touches other people, which is what you're doing with your words here. And so thank you so much for giving us that time and for giving us that part of your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such an encouragement. You know, one of the things that I love is to be able to hear from our audience all over, listeners all over. And Jose, the fact that you took time out and to call us, we love that. But we also know that it's hard for people to call us because, you know, we record Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And maybe you're listening at a different time, or maybe you're at work, or, you know, doing something else that you can't pick up the phone and call and ask a question. And we have set up a few ways for you to ask a question in other ways. We have a you can call, I think it's 1-888-639-5433, but I could be wrong about that. But you could go to newlife.com/radio, and there's a space where you can put the information for a question. And we have one of those questions that is, you know, one of those questions. And she asks, she's calling from Miami, Florida. Kathy asks, how can I know if my son is acting out with porn? He has been to Every Man's Battle, but he's in a recovery group, but I just don't know if he's actually, you know, getting help or how he's doing. And I don't know if I should ask him, but I just need direction on how to continue to help him in this recovery, and need some advice from this.
It's certainly acceptable, especially if you have decent relationship with your son to ask. And it's an important part of a person's recovery process to be willing to answer that question with humility and with honesty. Now, it's tough to get absolute certainty whether or not the truth is being told. But then you match the words and the attitude with which your son answers to his ongoing behavior, his ongoing participation in the recovery group. And those are some of the best ways to try to decipher, is he telling me the truth or not?
Yeah. Jill, what would you suggest?
Well, absolutely. And I think one thing is, anybody who's involved in addiction and recovery, right, those around that person take a while to really see the changed behavior mm-hmm. and know that they can trust it, right? Trust is rebuilt over a long time. And so people watch the former addict, right, in their recovery. And so this is with your son, right? You have some anxiety and some wondering, and how do I know? And this is totally normal after someone has gotten help. And I think it's okay to confess that to your son and say, you know, I hope that you will be patient with me, because as you are doing your recovery, I don't mean to question and doubt you. However, for me, it's going to take a while for me to understand that your words and your actions mm-hmm. are matching mm-hmm. because in the past they haven't. And so at times I may have momentary panic or just feel really anxious. And I want to be able to bring that to you and say, son, I'm feeling really anxious right now. How are you doing in your recovery? Right? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to check up on you. I just need to know that what you're telling me is true. And then to see that, right? And again, if they get really defensive, oh, you're always trying to control me. Okay, that's not a good sign. Right. But if they say, oh, mom, I understand, you know, and maybe they give you a big hug and say, I'm good, mom, or, you know, don't worry, I'm talking with my sponsor and I'm going to my groups, that rests your heart. And so periodically with any addict, there has to be room for those closest to them to be able to ask.
Yeah, it's like what you just said, Alice, too, is that the tension that you might be feeling is probably mm-hmm. evidence that they're not working a recovery program, because and it doesn't matter if it's mm-hmm. your son, if it's your sister, brother, whoever. People who are working recovery are free and they're open to
right, and they don't
questions.
Gaslight.
Right.
And having a set sobriety check-in, would you tell me once a week, once a month, how you're doing in your sobriety? That's a normal part of recovery. And asking for feedback from an outsider, meaning the group leader or a therapist, to get feedback from that objective person to the mom that's wondering, that's worried, that's okay to ask for that and to set that up. It helps rebuild the trust.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing when people work recovery. But it also, we did a Life Recovery Today program on this, actually, about how it impacts those of us who are in relationship with somebody who's struggling with addiction, because you're still in that healing process yourself, and you may need to do your own recovery work. Not because you're going to control them, but you're going to learn how much you've actually been trying to control the out-of-control behavior, and you'll get peace and serenity. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, we have been answering calls for about 35 years and we continue to hear from so many people. But I want to take you back with Steve and Henry with a caller, Kelly.
Kelly from Atlanta, Georgia. How are you?
Well, I'm going to be a whole lot better when I get off with you all, because I'm sure you're going to give me some wonderful wisdom.
Okay, well, we hope we will.
Well, I was blessed to have a special ed degree, and it really helped me with one of my sons who had ADHD and helped me to raise him, and I was really glad I had it. Mm-hmm. The longer I've listened to you, I see traits in my husband. I did not, having worked with children, I did not know there was an adult ADHD. But the longer I've listened to you, I really believe he has an undiagnosed case.
Mm-hmm.
And I really am stressed. My doctors told me I'm showing signs of stress.
Okay, wait a second.
Living under these conditions.
Okay.
Yes.
Before you go any further about your stress, tell us, everybody, what the symptoms are that you see in him.
Well, they're very similar to what I saw in my son that I remediated because I was trying to do. He can't stay focused on one task. Okay. He will start something and then rush off to another thing. He holds a job quite well, and actually does quite well because he's so intelligent. He knows how to manage all of this.
Right.
But, for example, his office is a train wreck, and the folks in housekeeping finally told him, we're not coming in there to vacuum or clean it anymore. He's got stacks everywhere of everything. He can't stay on task. When he has a deadline, he's running 90 miles an hour to get it done. So he does manage and do well, but he wears himself and everybody else around him out.
Okay. And what's going to be your question for us?
How do you live with that? Because he carries on that same tradition in our home. So he makes our home a train wreck.
Okay.
He has no goals for our family. He's just going 90 miles an hour.
Henry, what do you think when you hear how long have you been living with him?
22 years.
22 years.
Okay. Does he say that he has a problem?
No.
Have you talked to him about that he has a problem?
Yes. He's very sad when I mention any type of label to it. He does consider himself unique and...
Well, he's not that unique. There's, millions of people out there that are scattered and unorganized and don't meet deadlines, and so it's not that unique.
Okay. No, he has no perception that there's a problem.
Is he defensive?
He actually, for a while, it was defensive, and he blew me off like I didn't know what I was talking about. Now he gets very sad, and the only time I ever bring it up is if we're in the middle of something, and then he leaves this unfinished project and runs and starts another one. It's really the only time I've brought it up.
Okay. Well, why don't you try a couple of things? One is to sit down with him. And before you do this, get really prepared in your own mind.
Okay.
But to sit down with him and just say, you know what, I want to talk about something. And, this isn't a bad thing. You don't have to get all worried. But what I want to talk about is we have a lot of different styles, and you've called yours whatever you've called it, unique or creative or whatever it is. But say, here's kind of what that causes for me. And, you're not blaming him of anything. You're not saying he's a bad guy. You're not doing any of that. But what you're saying is when we commit to finish something or when there's, certain deadlines, or I don't know the chaos that it causes you, but you do. And so get very specific about three or four of the big ways that this impacts you and your relationship. And just say, is there a way that we can talk about how your style will not impact me like it's doing?
Okay.
And then you're solving a problem. You're not trying to cure a person. Now,
which a man can relate to quite well.
What's that?
Which a man could relate more to solving a problem than, the personal part.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm saying as a man, that would be very interesting to him because he wants to be a problem solver.
Maybe.
Okay.
Typically, if he is, ADHD types, they don't really end up solving as many problems as they create, but I'll give you that.
You're right.
Okay. So that's one thing. Now, the second thing is, what this is going to do, if you do it right, is you're going to have some agreement from there of, okay, now if that doesn't work, what should we do then? And he might say, well, let me know, tell me if it's not working or whatever. So the more you stay on this path of how it's impacting you, because you can't tell him how to be as a person, but what you can do is say, this is how I want life to be, somebody else's issues to stop at this line from impacting me. So when you draw those boundaries and have those lines, then it's going to fall further and further into his lap. Hopefully that'll help get him organized, but if it's not, he's going to find out he has a problem, and then you can move to probably getting him some help.
Okay, now I want to ask Henry a question. It's a personal belief of mine, and it may be because of my personal experience versus reality. But I think that you could rename attention deficit disorder affection deficit disorder. The young boy that's always running, always going, it's very hard for that child to receive affection. And so you end up in a marriage where it's very hard for that person who's grown up to give affection. And here you are talking about the things of your life, But you're not talking about the big deal of that you guys really aren't on the same page. Otherwise, when you brought this up to him, he would be saying things like, I am so sorry. Let's talk about how this makes you feel. You see, your connection, wouldn't you say your connection has been hurt by this more than anything?
Yes, that's a wonderful point. That's
okay.
Exactly right.
So I think you got to also, you have to address the affection issue and the connection issue that's either caused by it or causes it, but it's around it, for whatever is the source, okay?
Yes.
So, and that's something you can say to him, like what Henry was saying. You can say, you know, one of the things that bothers me the most is this has separated us. We're not on the same team with this. And, man, I remember when we were dating, we saw the world the same way. We looked at things the same way. I want to go back to that point. All right?
That's wonderful.
Okay.
That'll really touch him.
All right. Henry, is there a book you'd like to send her?
Well, I would get a couple of things. John and I wrote a book called How to Have That Difficult Conversation You've Been Avoiding. And that will give you some actual scripts. I mean, you can go read it. This is how I will say this. And then you won't get all, you know, confused and befuddled. It'll tell you how to do it. And that and Boundaries in Marriage.
That is one of my favorite teachings from Steve. It is a classic that continues to help people. We have actually a New Life perspective of the book of How to Have That Difficult Conversation. You can purchase that at newlife.com. We're so grateful to continue to hear the wisdom from Henry and Steve. And, you know, it just goes to show you that we all need help sometime. But that was a pretty creative way to address attention deficit disorder. I thought what Steve was going to say was attention deficit isn't actually deficit. It's just that everything grabs your attention.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I want to just encourage you, if there's something that you heard today that resonates with you and you need help, we are here for you. You know, we talk about every man's battle a lot because it is foundational to so many men's recovery and their life, their legacy. We're going to have an online version of that April 13th. And, you know, we don't hold this particular one online very often. It is a great opportunity for you to share that with the man in your life. We know a lot of women who will be doing the referral to this particular intensive. But, you know, we just want you, if you're a male and you're listening and you're struggling with sexual integrity and you know that you're stuck, whether it's in porn or an affair, there is hope and there is freedom ahead for you. And we want to help you get there. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Alice. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. However you hear us, there's lots of ways to hear us. If you're listening on the podcast, thank you. On the app, download it wherever you get your app. We are here for you and we're grateful for you.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.